Just want to read a short passage from Luke's Gospel, a well-known passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he entered according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to preach to captives deliverance, and to the blind sight, to send forth the crushed delivered, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And having rolled up the book, when he had delivered it to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And all bore witness to him and wondered at the words of grace which were coming out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this the son of Joseph?" Both in the meeting this morning and also in the reading, the scripture was quoted about in the volume of the book it is written. This is another book that was opened. I just thought of this passage. I want you to picture the scene. In those days, they didn't have a book like this. The scriptures were actually on a roll. As you probably know, you've probably seen pictures, and they were unrolled. And here it says Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. It's a good custom to go into a place of where God is honoured, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. Good to read the scriptures, isn't it? They make us wise unto salvation. I'd have loved to hear this gospel preaching. There was a gospel preaching like none other. Says the book of the prophet Isaiah, in our language, was given to him. And having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, we know that it spoke of him. But those in the congregation didn't know that at that time. And he read these words. And I think as he read them, they must have realised there was someone different there. Probably those words have been read hundreds, thousands, millions of times. And you know, we can hear scriptures. Maybe you come to the gospel on a Sunday night every week and you hear the same words. But this time, when the Lord Jesus read this passage, there was something different. They suddenly lit up, didn't they? I wondered how he would have read them. Don't want to be fanciful, but I think no one would have read them like the Lord himself. What does he say? He reads, I'm never quite sure whether this is the passage given to him to read or whether he found it himself. I'd rather, it strikes me that he found that place, because it says he, and having found the place where it was written, he knew where to go, because it was going to speak of him. And then he read this passage. He has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. There are many poor in this world, financially. And certainly if you don't have much in this world, the gospel is for you. It's also for the rich, of course. But I think it's more than just physically poor. You can be as rich as you like in this world, but you can be spiritually impoverished. In fact, as a sinner, you're actually in debt. Dear friend, you might have millions in your bank account, but if you're a sinner without a saviour, then you're in debt to God. He's come to preach glad tidings to the poor. That's really all of us. No matter what your background, your financial status, your social status, before God, you're poor. You know, Jesus told a parable, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. But they both couldn't pay. And that's the point. There is no difference, dear friend. We're all sinners. It says, Paul says, there is no difference. Whether you're a big sinner or a little sinner, it says they had nothing to pay. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn our forgiveness. We have nothing to pay. But the beautiful point of that story, it says that he frankly or fully forgave them both. Isn't that wonderful? That's the beauty of the glad tidings, that no matter what your situation is before God, in his grace and in his mercy, he's able and willing to forgive you. You know, man sometimes is willing to do things and is not able. But God, you know, has the ability and the willingness to forgive you your sin and make you right with himself. So he's come to bring glad tidings to the poor. And then what else does it say? To preach to captives deliverance. That's another description of you and me as a sinner, dear friend. Captives deliverance. We are captives. What are we captives to? We're captives to sin. We can't help sinning. We're locked in that pit of sin. We're locked in it. We're captives to sin. And more, we're captives to the originator of sin. So we're captives to Satan. He's got you in his clutches. If you haven't been freed by the work of Jesus, then you're a bondman to sin and you're serving Satan. I remember a preaching once I heard, no man can serve two masters. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving the devil. Very grim reality, dear friend. There's no middle ground. Who are you serving tonight? Are you serving Satan and his world? And are you under his clutches? Or are you serving the Lord? Has he set you free? Well, he's preached glad tidings to the poor. He sent me to preach to captives deliverance. What news that is. Many people are caught in the clutches of sin. You think of it, drink and drugs. They want to get out. People have therapy, care, help groups. There's nothing that can release you, dear friend, apart from the Lord Jesus. He's the one who delivers the captive. He's the one who can set you free from sin and from the power of the devil. He's sent to preach captives deliverance. And then what does it say? He's to the blind sight. What a saviour, you know. Again, that a picture of us as sinners. We're blind, aren't we? We cannot see God. We cannot see what is right. It talks in the scripture about those that think that right is wrong and wrong is right. And that just describes what there is today. There's such confusion that people don't know what is right and what is wrong. We have the scriptures to tell us what is right and what is wrong. The Holy Spirit has come to tell us that too, to bring demonstration, it says, of sin and righteousness and judgment. But we live in a world where there's no moral compass. We don't know what is right. And people are blind. Thank God that Jesus has preached, the Saviour has come, and he's preaching that the blind might be given sight. And you know, you should practice what we preach. Jesus actually did that, didn't he? He practiced what he preached. Think of that man in John 9, he gave him his sight physically. But more than that, he gave him sight spiritually. He opened his eyes. The Pharisees, the religious people, they thought they could see. But Jesus had to tell them that in fact they were blind. They thought they could see. He says, you say you can see, but your sin remains. Because unless you come to the Lord Jesus and have to do with him, unless he has set you free and opened your eyes, then you're blind. Then furthermore, he goes on. What a list it is. How it describes you and I, dear friend. To send forth the crushed, delivered. You know, there's many souls in this world, hurting souls, crushed. You go through, well, I'm sure Worthing, but especially in the big cities, you see those sitting on the streets, begging. Maybe they had possessions once, and something comes in and they find that they're on the street, crushed by sin, by Satan, by the world who doesn't care. You know, if people get on in life, the world loves you, doesn't it? But if you have a bad time, as the old expression goes, laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone. There's many that are crushed tonight. They don't know where to turn. They feel completely defeated. The gospel goes out to such. The crushed delivered. What a saviour we have to present. It's one who can deliver. Set you free. And then it says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That means, dear friends, the time is now. The acceptable year. And I'm going to say what every gospel preacher has said from this passage, that if you read from Isaiah 61, you'll see it goes on to talk about the day of vengeance of our God. And Jesus would have known that. He knew the scriptures better than anybody. But he stops just there, because the day of judgment has been put off. It's been withheld. Why? Because in God's mercy and in God's grace, he's waiting for you to come to the Saviour. Accept all year of the Lord. A year, you may say, is not a long time. But that year has extended for 2,000 years. In relation to the day of judgment, it's long, isn't it? Such is God's mercy. It talks in the scriptures about the long-suffering of God. Waiting, as it waited in Noah's day. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. I haven't been in this room 120 years. Sometimes it feels like it. 120 years. Every time, every week, the gospel goes out. God is waiting, maybe on you, tonight. The day of vengeance is coming. May come tomorrow. God's mercy and God's grace is such that his judgment is much shorter than his mercy. A year compared with a day. God's judgment will be swift, but it will be final. He will execute judgment righteously. He will deal with sin entirely. But the point is that today is the day of salvation. Today. It's acceptable. It's acceptable today. It's acceptable for you to turn to the Saviour. And he will save you. Doesn't matter whether you're what category you might be found in. Whether you're would have nothing in this world, whether you feel the debt of sin on you, whether you feel bound in sin, captive to Satan, whether you see no light, there's nothing in front of you. Maybe you're feeling your way, you don't see things as you should. Whether you feel crushed, whether you feel as if it's all too much, there's no escape. I remember my father preaching many years ago about a man who was put down a prison shaft, and he was left to rot, really. And someone said, "You need to look up." There was a grating on the top of the shaft, and he said, "The only way out is to look up." And you know that is the same for the hopeless case. Hymn says, the hopeless case, their loves to meet. What is impossible with God, impossible with man, is possible with God. The sinner who has no remedy, and man has no remedy. You know, no matter how educated man might be, he has no remedy for sin. But God has provided a remedy in the person of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of him here preaching these words, and they'd never heard anything like it. We hear preachings and you think, well, who has been affected? Has anyone listened even to what's being said? They listened here. Never man spake like this man. It says, when he had rolled it up, he gave it to the attendant. You know, there comes a time when the gospel ends. It doesn't go on forever. He rolled up the book. He shut the book. And he gave it to the attendant. And he said, he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. How wonderful. I just picture that scene. They were all listening to his word. He shut the book. He rolled up the book. And he said, I'm the one who this scripture is speaking of. It's me. I'm the one who can save you. I'm the one who can give you sight. I'm the one who can deliver you. I'm the one who can set you free. Never man spake like this man. I wonder if I can ask you today, have you heard the voice of Jesus? Do you realise that he's the Saviour? You see, they didn't. They were affected, but they still had questions. They said, is not this the son of Joseph? I wonder if you've heard the voice of Jesus. Maybe you hear the voice of Jesus tonight. Maybe something just strikes a chord in your heart and you think, yes, he's speaking to me. I'm that person, blind, wretched, lost, hopeless. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to me. He's not just any other man. He's not the son of Joseph, but he's the Saviour of the world. He's the blessed Son of God. They wondered at the words of grace which were coming out of his mouth. It's wonderful. It's the gospel of God's grace, isn't it? Think of that. I often think of that slave trader, John Newton. He's a prime example, isn't he, of one that we read about here. Blind. Captive to sin. And yet he could write, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the one. What God did in his life, he can do for you, dear friend. Set you free. Deliver you. You know, we were reading about the Thessalonians recently, weren't we, here? It says they turned from idols to God, to serve a living God, to wait his Son from the heavens. That's what God wants to do, to set you free, not just to wander off and do your own thing, but to live for him. I think that's what we sung in our first hymn. Set free to live, to serve the Saviour. If Jesus has set you free, dear friend, he's died on the cross, he shed his precious blood to pay for your sins, that you might be set free. Set free from the power of sin. Set free to serve him, to serve God acceptably. Thank God he's saved me from the penalty of sin. He is saving me from the power of sin by the Holy Spirit. He will one day soon set me free from the presence of sin. When I get into glory, there will be no more sin, no death. What a complete deliverance is offered in the glad tidings. Complete deliverance. So this person here, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a partial effect. They listened to him. They wondered. But then they still had questions. Tonight, dear friend, in the glad tidings, if you've listened to the voice of the Lord, that's great. But don't just wonder. Don't just go home from this gospel preaching thinking, well, that was okay. But are you going to put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Are you going to do something about it? The Lord Jesus came not to just speak nice words. I speak reverently. They're not just nice words, but this is the gospel. He was preaching the gospel, which is able to deal with you and I, to set us free. These are living realities. These aren't just, it just isn't a fine words on a page or a picture on a wall, but it's dealing with you and I in our situation. And the Saviour has provided to set us free, to make us able to serve God, and to know him, to walk with him, and to wait his Son from the heavens. Because this one who preached here, this Lord Jesus, the Saviour of the world, he went to the cross, he suffered and died for our sins, he shed his precious blood, he was buried, he rose again. Wonderful story, isn't it? We were reminded of it the other day, at the burial time, how that Jesus did these things. He actually died, dear friend. He died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried. But then it says he rose again the third day. How awful it would be if it stopped where he was buried. But it says he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul says to him, he was delivered for our offences. Yes, Jesus had to die. He was delivered for our offences, yours and mine. But then he was risen again for our justification. So that we're set on a right basis, aren't we? That's what justification means, really, that we're put on a right basis with God himself. No man can offer you that, but the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful work can offer you full salvation, so that you can stand before a holy God on a righteous basis, delivered for our offences, raised again for our justification. I wonder, dear friend, if the gospel has affected you. Jesus, when he preached in that synagogue, they wondered. They'd never heard anything like it. Well, dear friend, tonight, as the gospel goes out, once more in God's mercy and in God's grace, may you not just wonder, but may you act in faith. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only him, just as an ordinary man, a prophet, a great preacher, but as the blessed Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that I might be set free, entirely set free. What comes to me in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus set you completely free. You needn't be half saved, or you can't be half saved. Jesus, in his blessed work, provides a full salvation. May you therefore be delivered, set free, to serve him while you're here on earth, while you're waiting for that blessed moment when he's coming for all who put their trust in him. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.